What I'd like to do today, Rabosai, is I'd like to share with you a shmooze and talk about what to do with the shmooze. So we've got two agendas, the shmooze and what he's supposed to do with such a shmooze. Find your way around these fancy, how many volumes is this? What's that? Two embrasures. Okay. Good. So Chazal tell us in Medrash towards the beginning of Chayesara. Avram Avinu was Zoche. He merited to have Zikna. What does that mean, that he merited to have Zikna? There is apparently a person can get old and he can also get worn out. But he can also have, there's a beauty that old age offers. It's a wisdom and a beauty that apparently didn't exist prior to Avram's coming on the scene. The Medrash tells us in Chayesara, V'acharei kein kavar Avraham. Then Avraham buried Sarah. Hadohu dichsiv. This is what is alluded to in the Pasuk in Mishle. Rodef tzedakah v'chesed, yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. A person who pursues righteousness and chesed will find chayim tzedakah and kavod. Life, justice, righteousness, and honor. Rodef tzedakah. Who's a rodef tzedakah? Ze Avraham. That alludes to Avraham. Shenemar v'shamru derech Hashem lasos tzedakah. The pasuk tells us that Avraham is told what Hashem is going to do to Sodom. How could I not tell Avraham what I'm about to do to Sodom? After all, he's going to teach his children to do tzedakah. So that means that this pasuk of rodef tzedakah alludes to Avraham. V'chased. What does it mean that a person who chases after chesed? Who's that? Also Avram. Avram did chesed. What should the next words of the Medrash be? What chesed did he do? Avram did chesed. What chesed does he do? He's known as the Titen Emes Liyakov Chesed LeAvraham. The chesed of Avram. What's a great chesed? So he was machnis areach. He what? Vayachshvelo tzedaka. Vayachshvelo tzedaka is the lashon of the pasuk. Yeah. See, he's a tremendous machnis areach. He even did the chesed of kiruv. And what does the Medrash tells us? What's the chesed that he did? Shagom al chesed l'sara. He buried Sarah. That's the pinnacle of the chesed of the life of Avraham. You want to pinpoint the life of chesed, he buried his wife. Yimtza chayim. What's it mean that he'll find life? So, he'll find life because Avraham lived 175 years. Tzedakah v'chavod. What does it mean that he'll find tzedakah and kavod? Amar Reb Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, so to speak, Ani umenusi gomel chasadim. I got a job. My job is to be a gomel chasadim. Tafasta umenusi. You took my job. It was my job, but I see that you've moved into the business. Nope. So if you've moved into the business, bo levosh levushi. So there's a uniform associated with the business. As it's written, V'Avraham zokin v'abayamim. Avraham is granted this beauty of the splendor of old age that is reminiscent of the, so to speak, of the glory of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is the glory of an older person who has a glorious appearance, and sort of a balanced, wise appearance about him. So Avraham was granted that because he took God's, when it moved into the business, it moved into the chesed business, took over God's business. So God said to him, well, if you've moved into the business, so there's clothing to that comes along with the business. Shocking, no? Shocking. You're going to list the chasadim of a man who was married to the woman for almost 100 years. What would the alternative have been? To leave her out to dry? What's the alternative to burying her? What was he going to do instead? Put her on his mantelpiece? I mean, what was he going to do instead? What husband wouldn't bury his wife? That's the chesed of Avraham. A chesed that virtually anybody would do. Isn't that hard to imagine somebody more barbaric that wouldn't do such a chesed? That's the pinnacle chesed of Avraham. The Medrash chooses to highlight the chesed of Avraham, that he took over God's job. That's the chesed. That he buried his wife. Person would bury his wife from one day. If he's married to her for one day, he would bury his wife. It's part of the ksuba. After 100 years, and the mysterious nefesh that she had for him. That's the news, that Avraham buried Sarah. So when you read a chazal, the first thing you need to do is to analyze it like you would analyze the Tosfos. The Rashi. To look at it carefully. It's pointing out the chesed, the pinnacle of chesed, of Avram's life, is that he buried Sarah. So this question is not my question. The question has already been asked by the Gedolei HaMusar. Yeah?
So don't you sometimes find that something which is expected of you, something which is like obviously you would do, is in fact even harder to get yourself to do it than it is something which is like an adaba, something which like is extraordinary because there's more?
I want to meet the person who's having a hard time burying his wife. I want to meet the person. I want to find out what's making him tick. If he's having a hard time burying his wife, like feeling a little, it's Monday and there's football tonight. Got to bury her. I got to meet the guy. You know, with a parent, I would believe that. I once had an experience when I was acting as a rabbi. Sometimes I acted as a rabbi. I was acting as a rabbi in Rochester, New York. It was a little town in upstate New York. And a woman passed away. And they asked me to call the son. I was living in Atlanta. So fancy something ologist. I don't know what he was. And I was supposed to call him because they didn't to break the sad news. So I think it was on a Monday. If my memory serves me correctly, it was on a Monday. So I called up the son in my most funereal voice. I can act that too. My most funereal voice. I'm so sorry. I have to report. Mom passed on. We're in the process of, we're here at the funeral home, process of making arrangements for the funeral. As a son, we wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to join us. Wanted to know what your preference is. And I hear over the phone, I hear pages being flipped. And he starts, and he says, Sunday. Sunday, I have an opening. I can get up to Rochester on Sunday. So there was that kind of long pause on the phone as I said to him, I actually was referring to either 11 a.m. tomorrow or 2 p.m. tomorrow. That was actually my question. I must have misspoken that. You can't do that. I'm a son. I said, then be here to stop me. I said, out of courtesy, I will schedule it for 2 p.m. tomorrow. So if somebody say that about a parent, I'll buy. Nobody has a hard time bearing the wife, especially somebody as close as Avraham, grieving the way Avraham was. What's that? Yeah. He wouldn't look at me in the face, but he was there. It was fine with me that he didn't look at me. I didn't exactly want to look at him in the face either. I mean, you know, there was no particular love lost in that relationship. He obviously had his priorities solidly and squarely in place. Okay. So the Alter of Slobodka asks the question in the Orat Sofon. The Alter asks the question, and he provides a remarkable insight. Remarkable insight. Chazal are picking on the burying of his wife to show you how he did all of the other chasadim of his life. In other words, this is how he did every chesed. What does that mean? To do a chesed means to get somebody else in your head. Most people, when they check inside their heads, the only person they can find is themselves. And anybody else only exists to the extent that that person can somehow fill or satisfy my needs. Nobody else actually exists on their own. They exist to the extent that they fill my needs. For most people, when they check inside their heads, that's the only person they can find. Why is that true? Because when we're babies, that's our natural state. And since very few people mature, especially in today's world where we celebrate being a baby, you know, and you can be a baby and make millions of dollars. So, you know, it's cool to be a baby. So in a world where babyhood is celebrated, a lot of people today don't mature. So they actually don't have anybody else in their head when they check inside their head. What does it mean when they have somebody else in their head? So they're actually concerning themselves with somebody else's welfare. Only thing is, when you hear, let's say if I make room for somebody else in this chair, I make room for somebody else. So what do I often find after I've made room for the other person? I find little pieces of me all over the place. I made room for them, and then I'm looking for them to approve of me and to notice that I made room for them and to give me a favor back. And, you know, the little piece of dust of me all over the space that I thought I was making for them, it turns out that it's littered with dust of me. So I have to take out my little brush, and I have to start cleaning it. To clean it so that it's actually their space, not just my space. I'm actually making space for another human being. And that's the difficult process, but it's a process that not only is meaningful, but it's a process that a person can do and thereby emulates a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what does a Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly making room for us. How clean is the space that he makes for us? How clean is that space? It's so clean that a person can completely forget that a Kodesh Baruch Hu exists. That's how clean the space is. If you're ever having difficulty connecting to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, think about how amazing that is. Imagine that you would do somebody a favor of the magnitude of the favors that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing and not make sure that he knows that you're there. So just imagine that degree. So anytime you're finding it difficult to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it seems distant, unavailable, out of the picture, stop and say, that's the most amazing thing possible. That's more amazing than anything else. That he does all of those chasadim to me is amazing enough. but that he cleans up the space to the point where I could forget about his existence, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do somebody a favor for 5 minutes without letting them know that I was the one doing them a favor. But to do it continuously, hour after hour, minute after minute, month and month and year, and to do those kind of chasadim and not let them know that it's me? Not only that, but while they're doing this, while I'm doing them this chesed, they're also abusing me, going against my will, abusing me, desecrating my name. Oh yeah, I'm just going to sit back and keep on doing. So if you ever find yourself like having a hard time connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should consider that to be the most amazing thing in the world. More amazing than, in fact, than the chasodim themselves is the fact that you can forget about the chasodim. That's how clean the space is. So it's apparently possible for a person to clean up space for another human being that clean. What's the cleanest possible space? Where the recipient does not feel in any way beholden and the doer does not feel in any way like a hero. That's completely clean space. Follow? Clean space is Avraham in no way feels like a hero when he buries his wife. Sarah Imenu, who's been his wife for 100 years, in no way feels somehow embarrassed or beholden that she's receiving this kindness. She absolutely feels totally entitled to be buried by her husband. So Chazal say, you know what Avram did? Avram chat. He understood. What did he understand? That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He understood that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the operation. And he got it. And he figured out that that's the way he can interact with others as well. Nobody had figured that out before. Before that, they figured out you're either serving yourself or you're serving God. That they had figured out before. You want to serve God? What's the ultimate service of God? Sacrifice. And if you sacrifice your child, that's a bigger service to God. What did Avram understand? That if I feed my child, I'm emulating God. That's service. That's what he got. He understood what was going on in creation. He got it. He figured out that it's a world of chesed. That it's, the whole story is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously doing chesed with us. Clean. What does clean chesed mean? It's not riddled and littered with all sorts of me. So when Chazal are looking to, when the Pasuk is looking to highlight the epitome of Avram's chesed, it doesn't choose a chesed where you might think in that chesed Avram's ego was involved. It says, you know how he did chesed? He did chesed the way a husband buries a wife. Not for 1 second does it cross a husband's radar screen, boy, check me out. Check me out. Look what I did. And not for 1 second does it cross the consciousness of the deceased wife, I feel pathetic. Dead woman. I needed to be buried by a chesed committee. I need to be buried by a chesed committee. Her husband buried her and she's absolutely entitled to that. So that is where Avram got it. If you want to see the extent to which Avram got it, it's a fascinating Gemara in Pei Vav, in Bava Metzia. It's an amazing exchange. The Gemara says in Pei Vav and Mabez that Avram sent Eliezer to go look for guests. Familiar with the story? Get the story? Avram sent Eliezer to look for guests. When was it? On the third day of his bris milah. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already, says the Gemara, had taken out the sun from its sleeve, from its holder. He made the day very, very hot. Why did he make the day very hot? Shelo yatriach osa tzadik ba'archim. Right? So Avram shouldn't be troubled with archim, with visitors. Shadre le Eliezer le Mepak libra. So he sent Eliezer outside. Nafak v'lo ashkach. He went to him, find a guest. So he went out. He didn't find a guest. Why didn't he find a guest? Because there were no guests. Why were there no guests? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu had arranged that there shouldn't be guests. Amar lo mehem nolach. Avram said, I don't believe you. Hainu da'amri tamon. That's what they say. That's the expression. Leis hem nusa ba'avdi. You can't trust an Eved. Don't trust an Eved. Nofak ihu. So Avram himself went out. Chazi la'kodesh baruch hu. Okay. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu standing there at the door. Now he's got no reyach. Three gentlemen. The question is, Avram, you sent him with a question. Are there any orchim? He came back to you and reported that there are none. So if you had information that he does not have, I could understand why you didn't trust him. You know that your friend Yankel is coming at 2:30. And your friend Yankel is a yekka, and he comes at 2:30. And Eliezer didn't find him. So you say, go back out and check. I know the Yankel's coming, and he comes at 2:30. You just didn't find him. Go look. So I understand. Avram has information that Eliezer doesn't have. But if he sent Eliezer out, then presumably Eliezer has the information, right? So he comes back with the information. He says, there are no orchim. So how can you say, that's it, Avodim, you can never trust an Eved. If you had information, so then tell him what the information is. If you don't have information, so Eliezer's got the information. He told you there are no Urchim. Do you know an Oreach? You know what the concept of an Oreach is? The concept of an Oreach is making space for someone other than myself. That my world and my Dalet Amos, my environment, is not only about me. It's about making room for you. The concept of an oreach means I'm making space for other. It's not ani va'apsi od. It's not that my head is just filled with me. And Avram had understood that was his emunah. The emunah of Avram was that he came to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, olam chesed yibaneh, he made the world so that we can make room for other. Not just so that we can feel like a hero, so that we can make space for other. So he said to Eliezer, there must be an other to make space for. Go find him. And Eliezer comes back and reports, this particular moment, Avram, the only person you need to worry about is yourself. There's actually nobody else. There's no other for you to make room for. And Avram says, you see that? The Eved just didn't get it. Didn't get it. It can't be that there's a moment where there isn't a place to make room for other. Can't be. Doesn't exist. Olam chesed yibane. And he was so firm in that emunah that he walked outside and there was a guest. Kiviyochel, so to speak, a Kodesh Baruch Hu had to. Because Avram was tapping into the reason why the world was created. He was tapping into the essence of the story. And the essence of the story is making room for other. So Avram tapped into that. And so to speak, he forced God's hand. That's the way I made the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing a chesed for Avram at the time by making it very hot so that people wouldn't bother him. But Avram's one step ahead of the game. Avram understands the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made room for other. What would happen if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have made room for us? So the Pasuk says that he's Molik al Aretz Kvodo. He fills everything. There's no room for other. What did he do? He consciously made room for other. They can refer to it by a fancy term. It's called Tzimtzum. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, made room for us so that he could be mative to us. So he made room. That means that's the essence of what the world is about. is to be able to clear space in my head for somebody else. And I'll just mention, it's a little PS. You're sitting and learning Torah. So if your head is only filled with yourself, you can't hear what Rav and Abaye have to say. It's not just when you're doing a chesed for somebody. When you're helping somebody and giving them a drink. You try to learn Torah, if you don't have room in your head, if you can't clear any space in your head for Rav and Abaye, then you can't hear them either. One of my friends, you heard of the word exegesis? Exegesis means to derive meaning from the text. So he said that a friend of his coined the expression eisegesis, to impose meaning on the text. Instead of deriving meaning from the text, learning what the text has to say to me, it's eisegesis. I'm going to tell the text what it's got to be saying, because after all, that's what I think. So that must be what the text is saying. So that person will remain in Amaretz for the rest of his life. Right? Because there's no room for the text to speak to him. So he's right. You know, that's the starting position. I'm right. And my head is only filled with me. There's no possibility that there can be another thought out there. So I have to then, therefore, force what I'm saying onto Rava. But that turns Rava into a pretzel. It's better to turn Rava into a pretzel than to allow for the possibility that there's something other than me in the world. And the person who can't do that will remain in Amaretz for the rest of his life, unfortunately. So it's not just about doing favors. The whole concept of making room for other, where my brain is not completely saturated and filled with me, and the cleaner you do it, what does it mean, the cleaner you do it? Cleaner the space, that's more like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The cleaner the space, the more like a Kodesh Baruch Hu we are. We make a bracha. Borei nefashos rabos v'chesronan. Why are we so happy that there is chisaron in the world, that there's nefashos rabos and the deficiencies? Why are we so happy with deficiencies? Because deficiencies allow us to do chesed. That's the without deficiencies, we can't turn to Hashem and ask Him for our needs, and we can't do a favor for somebody else. So the whole system revolves around chesed. And Avram got it. He got it in a way that nobody else had gotten it before. I'm not sure if anybody got it since, but he certainly put it into our genetic material to be able to get it. And so the Pasuk celebrates Avram's chesed, and it uses as an example the fact that he buried Sarah. So far, so good. So basically we have how is a person supposed to live? Why did the Torah teach us this? Because we're supposed to do that kind of chesed. Now, take a shmooze like that. That's a shmooze. Shmooze, a supporting document. Yeah. Careful analysis of the text, the supporting document, insight, inference, analysis, the shmooze. That shmooze will get every one of us depressed if you think about it for long enough. Because it'll be a long weekend before you do anything for anybody that's that anywhere near that clean. So what are you supposed to do with a shmooze? What happens if let's say I didn't think about it now, because, you know, I don't want to think now. But at some point I stop and I think, how do I do favors? And lo and behold, I discover that my brain really is filled entirely with me. And the only person whose welfare I really think about is me. And when I'm doing a favor for somebody else, it's really, I've got boomerangs sitting all over it with how it's going to come back to me. And it doesn't look anything like the simplicity with which Avram buries Sarah. If you want to see that simplicity, by the way, in a female version, this is the male version. The female version is a woman giving a child something to eat when the child's hungry. That's the female equivalent. Why does the woman give her child something to eat? Why? You know why?
The child will stop crying.
No.
The me version.
Right. That's the me version. You know why she gives him something to eat? Because he's hungry. Has an absolute simplicity. That's the chesed. She didn't have to develop that. That's something she was given as a gift. We use that as the lesson in order to learn how to do it towards the next door neighbor. That it should be an absolute simplicity. It's simplicity. 1 plus 1 equals 2. With my father, Hareini Kaparas Hashkava, that was his story. My father, Zatzal, had a fantastic simplicity. You need to go to the airport, and I have a car. Simple, right? He had all the simplicity of a mother giving her child something to eat because he was hungry. You need to go to the airport and I have a car. And in the same way you wouldn't understand if a child would say no or no thank you to his mother who's giving him supper, you wouldn't, like, what was he saying no thank you for? Like, there's a simplicity here. So he also couldn't understand why somebody would not take him up on a lift to the airport. A third cousin staying at the King David, for whom the 200 shekel or whatever it is to get to the airport, you know, falls out of their pocket in small change. And he just wouldn't understand. It's just that there was a simplicity. You have to go to the airport and I have a car. So the capacity for that kind of simplicity is something that, well, if I look at my behaviors don't reflect that kind of simplicity. So that's why a good schmooze, if you don't know how to use it, can lead to depression. Because the schmooze, by and large, describes the ideal. By and large, that's the function of a schmooze. To give you a new insight, a new awareness into an ideal which you otherwise might not have had. So what are you supposed to do with that information? So most people forget it. It's the easiest thing to do. It goes into the hopper of inspirational material that inspires essentially for a few minutes. The best example of that is when you go to a very inspiring talk and you just can't wait for the next one. That means that you threw out the last one. Because if you didn't throw out the last one, you wouldn't be chalashing, you wouldn't be looking to get to another one, you'd be looking to squeeze what you could out of the last one. And that's a job and a half. So the fact that we live in a world of throwaway inspiration. You get inspiration, and boy, he's a really great speaker. I can't wait for his next schmooze. Which means that I have full intention of throwing out the last one. It was like, it's good, it's nice to hear. So that's one approach. Another approach is called the duck approach. That means you sit there and duck and hope that it hits the guy next to you. And you're like, I'm really glad that so-and-so was here for that schmooze. Because he really could use a schmooze about chesed. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, I'm really glad that so-and-so was here for that schmooze. That's another approach. So one is just, you know, the throw away the inspiration. The other is duck. Just kind of lay your head low and it'll hit the guy who it's supposed to hit. Who's, of course, never me, it's the guy, you know, who really needs this. The third approach is, tell it over to somebody else, quick. Don't internalize it. Chuck it that way. This way I feel good about myself, because I actually did something with it, right? It was like a hot potato, I couldn't deal with it. In my hands, I couldn't deal with it. So I figured, kind of whip it over to somebody else, so then I've dealt with it. Now I can feel good about myself, I didn't just ignore it. Didn't just forget about it, I told it over. Now the hot potato is by somebody else. What is that guy going to do with it? One of the three above. You know, either forget about it, wait for the next inspiration, or duck and be happy that somebody else was standing there or heard it, or hot potato and throw it to somebody else. Because you don't know how to swallow it. It's too big. Don't have the ability to swallow it because it describes an ideal. And the thing about the Torah is that it's infinite. And so when we're describing the ideal, we're always talking about the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are always a step beyond anything a human being could ever achieve. So when we're talking about the ideal, we're always talking about an infinite ideal. It happens to be that there were individuals who embodied who embodied the ideal to such a degree that they became what's called the Merkava for the Shekhinah. That means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is able to exist in this world. How do you know about Chesed? How can you get a glimmer into the Chesed of Hashem? Because there was a person like Avraham who existed in the world. So that he becomes a Merkava, he becomes a chariot, is the language that's used. It's possible for us to have some sense of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed because Avraham existed in the world. So there were people who came very close. And in fact, Chazal say that a person is supposed to say, Mosai Yigiu Maisai Lemaisai Bosai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We're supposed to aspire to the stars. We're supposed to aspire to the infinity of the Avos. So what are you supposed to do with this thing that you can't swallow? The answer is that it's supposed to create what we call a vector. It's a direction. It's a compass. It's a path. It's where I'm heading. I'm now checking my behaviors to see if they are on the road towards that ideal. After having gotten the schmooze, so now I have a better understanding of the ideal. After having sat and thought about myself, so that I have a clearer recognition of what is real, I now begin the process of directing my behaviors towards trying to come closer to. Now that's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Probably takes a lifetime, give or take a few minutes, to get as far as we can towards the ideal. But you can't get anywhere if you're not on the road. So you need all three components. Can't get along without any one of them. You need a clear understanding of the ideal, because if your definition of the ideal is a quarterback for some football team, if that's your definition of an ideal, then having 16 girlfriends is a major plus. If you don't get your definition of the ideal right, so then you don't know where you're going. So you need the schmooze to get clarity so that you can get the definition of the ideal clear enough so you know where you're going. If you make believe that you're somebody other than who you are, I make believe that I'm somebody other than who I am, then I fake myself out on the real. That means that I'm taking an artificial step towards the ideal, because that isn't me, and I'm just going to fall on my nose. How do you know who the real is? The real is every one of my feelings, actions, and thoughts. Every single one of my feelings, actions, and thoughts defines who I am in the real. The trick is not to deny any of my feelings, actions, and thoughts. There was an old commercial in America for Alka-Seltzer. And I had different versions, but it always went basically like this. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. You ate it, Harry. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Here, try two of these. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Now, there's a good and a bad news to that commercial. The good news is that reality forced him to realize his heartburn, forced him to realize that he had eaten the whole thing. As much as he would care to not believe that he had eaten the whole thing, his heartburn imposes upon him the fact that he ate the whole thing. That's the good news of that commercial. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen in our lives. In our lives, we can get away with denial and say, "Ugh, that's not really me. I didn't really do that. I didn't really say that. I was just having a bad day." And then we get no picture of the real. When we write it off as being a bad day, we get no picture of the real. The real is who I am in bright light. The bad news of that commercial is that the commercial lasted for 15 seconds, which means that a problem is suggested, a problem is described, a solution is suggested, and the solution is tried, and the solution is found successful, all in the span of 15 seconds. That's a problem. Because unfortunately, that creeps into people's personal development as well. I'm going to kill this problem with a good, solid inspiration, a resolution from here on out. Chesed of Avraham. Absolute simplicity. There's no me on the radar screen. It's just my roommate needs to borrow a shaver. It's about him, not about me. And all of a sudden, when it comes back broken, and I pound his nose into the nearest wall, and I discover, perhaps it was a bad day. That is not a good approach. Like, that's it, you know, 15 seconds. I got a good 15 seconds to get this thing squared away and worked out. Chesed of Avraham. Chesed of Avraham was really big. It was really, really big. Eov, the Chazal tell us that Eov tried to say that he should be given reward. He also was a Baal Chesed. Anything you ever needed, you went to Eov. Eov would say, you got to get married. You want to get married? No problem. You tell the caterer to put it on my bill. Your clothing needs cleaning? No problem. You give it to the cleaner. Tell the cleaner, put it on Eov's bill. Anything you needed. Eov never turned down a need. Any need there was, Eov said, need, take care of it, put it on my bill. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should I be suffering the way I am? I know. What about Avram? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to compare yourself to Avram? You don't come to his shoelaces. In Avram Avinu's house, nobody ever asked for anything. It was already there. Because Avram understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just filling needs after they existed. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? Anticipating the need. Understanding what was going on with the other, he was anticipating the need. So Avram Avinu got it, and Eov didn't get it the way Avram got it. Eov was a good guy. That's a very good thing. Halavai, there'd be more such people in the world. But when he tries to put himself on one-on-one with Avram, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, nah, don't jump. You know, you can't go one-on-one with Avram. Avram understood the essence of Chesed. Okay, so what do I do with that message? I should always be anticipating every one of my friend's needs and always... The answer is, it's a vector. There's a real clarity to the extent that it is possible, and that itself becomes a project to try to get clarity as to who I am in the area of making room for other. There is an ideal of understanding just to what extent the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes room for other, how clean the chesed is of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there's steps that a person can do. One of them is to think about it. One of them is to practice it. Even things that are not yet on my level, but just sort of practicing it, just to kind of get used to the idea. Another is to study more chazals about the matter, to get into the sugya of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, so that my head is kind of ringing with that sugya. As the sugya rattles through my head, it tends to make more of an impression. Another is to be around people who personify such chesed. There's a lot of things that we can do. Those are steps in a process of trying to get from the real, of inching my way from the real towards the ideal.
In terms of, let's say, another ideal, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, like you're supposed to get out like roaring like a lion.
Right.
So how can I judge myself in the real? If I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling all I want to do is...
Roll over. Curl up like a puppy. Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I fight myself and I get out of bed.
Right.
So the real of me was thinking... You know,
curl up like a puppy.
And that's what I really wanted to do.
That's right.
Happened to be there. I somehow managed to fight. I mean, but
so that should be cause for enormous celebration. The ideal still remains roaring like a lion. That the ideal doesn't change. The ideal is roar like a lion. The real is, I want to curl up like a puppy. The process is going pushing real plus one. So in that case, you just described real plus one. Real plus one is, I wanted to curl up like a puppy, and then I got out of bed.
But would the rule not have been to, since that's what I wanted, I was having a real thought, my real feeling at the time was to curl into, why couldn't I just give in to that? I mean, if that's what,
because,
why can't I always turn around?
Because then your life doesn't have a direction. Then you're worshipping yourself. Then your life has no direction. If the only person you're trying to replicate is yourself, then you're already doing that very well. You don't have to work to replicate yourself. You are there already. We were put in the world as raw material to try to go from the raw material towards the ideal. So if all you do is replicate yourself, so that you can, you do that already. Most of us are pretty good imitations of ourselves. So giving in to what we are is what we do most of the time. There's very little that we do that is out of character. The idea is to every once in a while do a plus one that is a little bit more than my character, than my predictable character, so to speak. And noticing that my predictable character is roll up like a puppy, knowing that the ideal is roaring like a lion, and doing real plus one is a process. Excellent. And then do that once in a while. You know, some yeshiva guys are thrilled if they do that once every 30 or 40 years. You know, that's like, you know, Dear Diary kind of moment. You know, today I actually got up. You know, otherwise the only thing that got me up was hunger. You know, just since the yeshiva doesn't have room service. So, like, you know, what finally got me up was primal need. You know. Either to use the facilities or get some food. Yeah, good. You had a question?
Yeah. The Rav said before that a person shouldn't deny any thoughts or actions. But I agree that you shouldn't deny, but to an extent you should analyze each one and push a lot of them out. You can't just accept everything and hear it. You should just, some thoughts aren't worth thinking about.
Yes, I didn't mean deny in the sense of turn it down. I meant deny their existence. I need to know that thought did occur to me, and then I pushed it away. But I must be aware that the thought in fact occurred to me. I did think about knocking out this guy's headlights, even though the social situation didn't let me knock out his headlights. In other words, If there's a fancy schmancy Rosh Yeshiva standing there with his long frock at the wedding, and he's talking, of course, during the chuppah, because you got to talk and learning during the chuppah, right? And so he's talking and learning, and but he has a little pause in between each bracha. You know what the pause is? You can't even imagine what the pause is. They're so innocent, Baruch Hashem. He's checking to see when they call his name. That's what the pause is. That's what the pause is. And he's supposed to know that that's what he's doing, and not deny the existence of that thought. Even though, of course, then he's fine with whatever they do. But do you know what he would be doing if there wasn't social constraints? He'd be running over to the chosen and the chosen's father under the chuppah and grabbing each one of them by the lapels and saying, "You better give me a bracha." That's what he really wants to do. So why doesn't he do that? Because he's got a position of respect in the community. He wouldn't have his job. He, you know, probably wouldn't have much of a home life, right? So he's not going to do that. But that's really what he's about. How does he know that's really what he's about? Because he catches himself pausing to listen to see if they're announcing his name. Now, I can't tell him that, because maybe he's just pausing because he wants to be polite and he wants to make sure that he comes up for his bracha. I can't tell you whether or not he's really thinking that. I don't know. He could be 100% holy. But one thing's certain. To be real, I need to know what it is that why it is that I paused. Why did I pause? Now, I'm never going to accuse somebody else of pausing for the wrong reason. That's not nice. That's very not nice. But I better check my own pauses.
Well, what exactly are you prescribing? Because the average person over anyone else will have tens, hundreds, if not thousands of thoughts. So how are you prescribing to go?
The major ones. And I would suggest also that, again, in the process of the process is one that is not meant to be overwhelming. It's meant to be an exercise, like in a gym. You're supposed to work out, but you're not supposed to fatigue your muscles to the point where you can't exercise. So when a guy gets into it with full gusto, and now he's saying, I'm going to watch out for every thought, and that lasts 4-5 milliseconds, you know? So he obviously sabotaged himself in his desire to get it all right, coming from the 15-second commercial. So these are all things. So you need to take it with a measure of sophistication. There's a real, there's ideal, there's a process. The idea is always real plus one. There should be just a gentle, continuous, forward movement. Gentle, continuous. Now, for each person, that's going to look a little different.
How do you exactly define the real process? Because in terms of what you're saying, like, someone's always going to have struggle getting. It's just someone's always, when he wakes up, he's always going to be tired. He's always, it's just someone who's really pushing. They're pushing themselves. They're always going to be tired. Someone's always going to get angry in a situation. But let's say even in private, he's able to overcome himself. Even in private, there's no one around. There's a very, very difficult situation. He's going to feel the anger. So you define
always. You always speak about frequency, intensity, and duration. That's what we always talk about. Frequency. How often is it happening that I get anger, building up inside me? Intensity. How deep do I get into that feeling? Duration. How long does the feeling last? You're always looking at frequency, intensity, and duration. And if you see any change at all in any one of those three, it's still happening, but it's not happening as often. It's still happening, it's happening just as often, but I don't get into it as deeply. It's happening just as often, I get in just as deeply, but I'm able to come out sooner. Frequency, intensity, and duration. And unfortunately, many folks, because they're so interested in eliminating the problem, that they don't accept the real. If they don't accept the real, they're never going to celebrate. Because if I'm only focused on the ideal, then when is the only time I could celebrate? When I achieve the ideal. When do I achieve the ideal? Never. So which means my life has never had celebration. What does it take in order to continue growing?
Celebration.
Take celebration. So that's a wonderful recipe, right? Focus on the ideal exclusively. Then you'll never have celebration because you'll never reach the ideal. And any of the fuel that you might have garnered to be able to move forward, you will lose in the frustration of that, but I did it again. Yeah, but you haven't done it in months. But I did it again. So that, if you don't have the real, you have no basis of celebration. So if I know that I speak Lashon Hara about 16 times an hour, I need to know that about myself to be able to know that this hour I only spoke Lashon Hara 15 times. And if I don't, I say, yeah, but I'm still speaking Lashon Hara. So that means, what was I focused on? The ideal. I don't have celebration because I only have frustration because I see that 15 times an hour I'm still speaking Lashon Hara. How will I ever get to 14 times an hour? I'll never get there, because what does it take to go to 14 times? The celebration of having gone from 16 to 15 times. I see I can do it. I see that I'm making headway. I see I'm getting Siyata Dishmaya. Kodesh Baruch was helping me out. I managed to go from 16 to 15. So now I have the impetus, I have the incentive, I can carry on, I can go to 14. But if I'm focused on not speaking any more Lashon Hara, and that is, after all, the ideal, don't let anybody sell you on a sellout of the ideal. What is the ideal in terms of Lashon Hara? 0 times an hour for the rest of our lives. Never, ever make anybody's name, protect everybody's reputation from now until we die. Well, how could you lay that on me? What an ideal. How could you lay that on me? Just going to cause depression and frustration. And the answer is, there's a gentle process of the real, the ideal, and the process. The process is always the real plus one, which brings in its wake celebration, which allows us to move to a new real, and we do the real plus one. To forget about the ideal, chas v'shalom. Got to always have the ideal so you know what road you're on. To forget about the real, can't have celebration if you don't have the real. If you don't have process, then obviously the ship just stops in the water. Question?
Celebration would be, how about if you realistically determine for yourself where exactly the real is, but then instead of going plus one, you go in the opposite direction?
Why did I go in the opposite direction?
But you were still real. It was not that the opposite direction is your reality. You made a mistake. Or like, instead of shooting for the ideal, you hit the opposite. You totally regressed. How do you then pull yourself out of that?
See, the concept of regressing means that I'm not current with my real.
So you can keep on readjusting your real all the time.
You can?
You have to.
Now, boss, I'm going to impose on you if I can. Can you join me for Mariv? Can we?
Yeah.
Okay. But during those 2-3 minutes, if anybody has any quick questions, I'll.
Coming to you, if you haven't been exposed to this concept of the real, the ideal,
and the process,
then how do you know a few years down the line, like, you were never really ruled yourself, you don't really know where you're holding, and like, you wake up like, who am I?
Brilliant question.
How do you get back in touch with me?
Brilliant question. You put that back into the same formula of the real, the ideal, and the process. In other words, the real is that I fool myself all the time. I create myself in my own image, and I fool myself all the time. I selectively decide which part of me I consider to be me, and which parts are just aberrations. The ideal is brutal self-honesty. The process is, for 5 minutes each day, I try to be real with myself. In other words, again, plug it back in to the real, the ideal, and the process. Here's the goal. The goal is to try to be real with myself. The real is I fake myself out all the time. The ideal is ruthless, absolutely ruthless honesty, process, 5 minutes, process being around people who are real, process studying about being real, etc. Yeah.
How does one keep from making focusing on the real an ideal?
Focusing on their real?
Well, if a person starts to say, well, okay, now I'm focusing on the real. Like, even at that time,
if it feels that kind of, if it feels that tense, it's probably not healthy. When you're working out in a gym, you can't get that tense. You get that tense, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do any reps.
The same answer the rep is. The idea is to focus on the idea.
Yeah.